Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me. We've gotten a lot of requests for this episode, so hopefully we can touch on everything people want to talk about. Now, if there's at least a little bit of a dip in the news, we're going to talk coordinators, offensive coordinator, which became a discussion topic, of course, yesterday with Josh Gattis leaving to become offensive coordinator at Miami. And then we'll also talk about defensive coordinator, looking at some of the key candidates on both sides of the ball, and maybe what is important for Michigan to get out of those positions this year, along with maybe how the rest of the staff shakes out. So how we're going to break it up: the first half of this episode will be offense, we'll hit a commercial break, and then we'll have the defense in the second half of the show. So starting with the offense, Sunday morning, Josh Gattis, well, it was announced. I don't think either school, maybe Miami officially announced it. Michigan never officially did a release or anything on it. But Josh Gattis leaving the Wolverines after three seasons to become offensive coordinator at Miami, not the Dolphins, the Hurricanes. So at best, a lateral move. It sounds like he will be getting more money. But ultimately, I mean, they're a worse program right now in a worse conference. Recruiting should be easier just on location alone, but obviously there's other factors that go into that. Plus, it is a new coaching staff with Mario Cristobal going from Oregon to Miami. But Steve, how, I guess starting with kind of the surprise factor, you know, I don't think this is probably a jaw-dropping shock because of the context of Harbaugh was departing or thought to be departing. And then he comes back, and I think how it was put by one of our insiders on our message board was there were assistants on Michigan staff that were shopping for the corner office furniture, and now they're told to go back to their cubicle. You know, it's a metaphor. I think they all have corner offices as assistant coaches, but you get the idea. If you're thinking one thing's going to happen and then it doesn't, that does cause you to kind of reflect. And Miami, it sounds like they were very aggressively pursuing offensive coordinator. I mean, they were going after head coaches, you know, with the money that they were throwing around. So, Steve, how big of a deal is this? Certainly, I don't think any of us woke up Sunday morning thinking, I bet Josh Gattis leaves today. But I guess your surprise level and how big of a blow is it to the Wolverines?
This is a tough one. I think the major consensus is that Michigan already has their replacement on staff. I think that automatically sort of lessens the blow a little bit. You don't have to go outside the program, potentially rework a ton of stuff. But I don't know, because, you know, he'd already interviewed for some head coaching jobs this offseason. He's a guy whose career arc feels on the rise. Probably wouldn't have been around after next season, if we're being honest. You know, I think the bigger question is, if it is Matt Weiss that replaces him, can there be some continuity there? Would Weiss stay on for more than 1 year, you know, type deal? Maybe that is actually ends up being a plus for Michigan if that's the case. You know, I think that'll be one of the bigger questions. But, you know, I think most people would agree. I think Gattis kind of came into his own second half of this last season. Michigan, you know, from a play calling schematic standpoint, right? I think most people would agree with that. So, you know, he definitely is a guy who it felt like maybe he was kind of coming into his zone at Michigan. But at the same time, I mean, there's also a lot of talent returning from Michigan offensively. I kind of feel like they could withstand this pretty easily. I think in a way you could almost say maybe everybody wins a little bit. I don't know. Miami wins by getting a huge upgrade at offensive coordinator. Maybe Gattis wins. He's getting paid a lot more, I think, than Michigan was willing to pay him. And Michigan could also obviously win by, like I said, just making the change within staff and with another real up and comer offensively, and a guy that we know had definitely had some input on what they did offensively this season, you know. And I think a guy that the players also seem to really get along with and like. So, you know, could be a win-win-win here for everybody in a way. It's an odd way for this to end. I mean, he did just win the Broyles Award, gave the great, you know, emotional speech about Jim Harbaugh, kind of giving him his first real opportunity as far as a coordinator goes, letting him run an offense on his own. You know, so it's kind of an interesting way for this all to end. But overall, you know, I think the players seem to, if Andrell Anthony's any indication, you know, I think the players are going to be okay with this as well. And, you know, again, I just think Michigan's too talented offensively heading into next year for this to be like some like huge blow, not to mention the first part of their schedule is a lot easier than it normally is. So if there are some new wrinkles or some new, any type of change in scheme at all, they're going to have a lot of time to sort of get adapted to it and get used to it. So, you know, overall, I think this is a situation where everybody might win.
Yeah, if Gattis had this easy of a first month in 2019 or 2020, I think both those seasons might have looked a lot differently. Because I will say, I mean, Gattis, his departure is definitely a loss. Like, I think anyone who's saying, oh, you know, it's like turning around like 4 days after saying he was probably the replacement and saying, oh, he's very replaceable as an OC, probably a little bit of tinted glasses if that's how you're viewing it. But, you know, you bring up a great point that even if there are some hiccups with the new play calling system, whether it's Matt Weiss is like the go-to play caller, or if he's collaborating with Sharon Moore and Jim Harbaugh, a lot of this stuff still has to be figured out and obviously still has to be officially announced, but they are going to have the talent and they are going to have the opportunity to be a very good offense next season. And that would have been true with Gattis. I think it's still true. I think the one part where this is a loss for Michigan and the most is that you just don't know what you're going to get from new hire. Every time you have to make a new hire, there's risk. There's risk that they don't click with the team, or there's risk that they don't click with the staff, or that they, you know, the job just wasn't the best fit for them. I mean, there's so many variables. And so I think you're right on that it's more, there's less risk because it sounds like Michigan is comfortable doing internal hires really across the board on the offensive side of the ball. And we'll talk about a couple of those in a second, but you know, if Michigan feels very comfortable about going internal with its hires, that speaks to how comfortable they are that there won't be a drop off in coaching capabilities. You know, I've been asked already a few times, I'm sure you have too, Steve, you know, are there any players that are going to follow Gattis to Miami? Cause he was a good recruiter. I mean, he really started to get Michigan toward the recruiting fast receivers trajectory. I mean, for a long time, you know, they were recruiting receiver well, but it wasn't every year. And it wasn't, you know, the evaluation style wasn't as focused on speed as it has been since. So I'm curious about it, but I don't think there will be. I mean, I think I think everyone's going to give, you know, presuming that it's Ron Bellamy is the receivers coach and Matt Weiss is the offensive play caller, I think everyone's going to give that at least spring ball to see kind of what it looks like. I don't think there's anyone who was so attached to Gattis and not attached to Michigan that they're going to take off. And one thing, you know, we talked about it last week, Jim Harbaugh telling recruits and incoming freshmen that, you know, he was going to look at the NFL. He also said Josh Gattis probably was going to be a head coach the next year or so. And Gattis did interview with Virginia. I believe he interviewed with Duke as well. I don't know that one as certainly, but I don't think anyone necessarily recruited or committed to Michigan for Josh Gattis. I think they liked him. I think they liked his offense, but I actually don't think that's a huge concern. I think the bigger concern area is just making sure that the offense is able to continue to progress, which I I'm in agreement with you. I think that with the talent and maybe a few games to figure out what works, because it's not just that they have an easy non-conference. They also have, you know, Maryland on September 24th, who I would forecast to be one of the easier beat challenges in Big Ten play this season. It's a home game against Maryland. You'll have an ability to figure out what works for this upcoming year's offense, you know, because I think that's one thing I give Gattis credit for, is I think he, you know, in 2021, especially, I think he understood, okay, I have designs for an offense, but we have, you know, Michigan has this special talent at running back and kind of in the run blocking, mow them down offensive line. And he didn't try to do it his way. He tried to do it the best way possible for Michigan. And I think he started to figure that out a little bit in 2019 as well, toward the end of the season when they were putting up those crazy numbers. But at the same time, I think I do think if Michigan's very comfortable with the internal hires, then I think that would suggest they don't think that there'll be a huge drop off. Speaking of that, Matt Weiss appears to be the next OC. It sounds like maybe it could be him and Sharon Moore, but at the very least, I think Weiss is going to be upgraded to a play caller. Thoughts on him? He's worked with A. Harbaugh, or worked for A. Harbaugh, since 2008. He was a punter at Vanderbilt, but then he was a grad assistant at Stanford from 2005 to 2008. Around 2009, 2010, he followed, went to go work for John Harbaugh with the Ravens. Kind of rose through the ranks there, actually ended up being a cornerbacks coach at one point before switching to the offensive side of the ball. He was the running backs coach there and then quarterbacks coach this year. Sounds like he's just the outside perception, I guess, is he's great with analytics. He understands football decision-making, statistical probabilities. Sounds like he has that down really pat. There's been a little bit of reporting here and there about how he's really mechanically focused as well, especially in terms of throwing and maybe how you run around holes or through holes and things like that. So I'm fascinated about that stuff, but your thoughts on if he is the offensive coordinator, you know, what does he bring to the table? What is your confidence, I guess, in the Harbaugh's confidence? Cause it seems like they're developing some of these pipelines where they find these young coaches who rise through the ranks to become, you know, big name coaches. So Steve, your thoughts on Weiss and what he can bring as a, I guess, first time play caller and first time coordinator, you know, same situation as Gattis was in a couple years ago.
With Weiss, I guess I always look back at when he was first brought on board in terms of how I feel like Harbaugh, Michigan must feel about him. You remember it was after Brian Jean-Marie left for Tennessee.
Yep.
And instead of going with a defensive guy to replace him, like everyone thought, he basically rushed to add Matt Weiss to the staff. And I remember at the time when we broke that down, I think we looked at it as sort of a similar situation where, like in recruiting, if you already have a five-star running back committed, but another five-star running back really wants to come play for Michigan, you take him, you find a spot for him. That's sort of, again,
you make room.
Right. You know, and so just based on the sequence of events that led to his hiring made me feel like, you know, Harbaugh thought this is the best guy that we can possibly add to our staff. So I have no doubt. Well, and the fact that it doesn't even seem like they're even considering an outside candidate. Right. I mean, I think that's another indicator that, you know, that this is, he feels very strongly about Weiss's ability to coordinate an offense at the college level. So you're talking about someone who's was in the NFL for more than 10 years before he got, and he's only 38 years old, you know, already in the pro game for 10 years before he gets to Michigan. Reviews on him seem to be strong at Michigan as well. He's a quarterback's guy too. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, you know, to have a quarterback focused guy running your offense either with the talent that they have at the quarterback position right now. So I think it really kind of speaks for itself. The fact that this doesn't really seem like it's going to be much of a search, if there even is going to be a search at all, I think says a lot about the confidence they have in going that direction. You know, I think the bigger question will obviously be on the other side of the ball and with how they end up shuffling things around to fill out the rest of the staff.
Yeah, it's one thing to also remember is not only did they make room for Weiss when they had the opportunity to hire him, he coached, they made him a assistant coach at a position that Jim Harbaugh was pretty comfortable being the coach at. You know, he didn't just make room in terms of moving guys to other positions. He said, yeah, no, I was going to be quarterback's coach, but you know, to get him here, we can do that. And then the other thing to factor in, none of this, I mean, Michigan has not publicly confirmed any of this, but obviously heavy reports from Sam Webb over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan247Sports.com, that this Weiss was who Harbaugh was going to take with him to the NFL. I mean, this was, you know, that was almost like his main guy that he was bouncing ideas off of on interviews, getting interview prep for. And by the sounds of it, we don't know because Harbaugh was never offered a job. And so we don't know who he would have taken. But by the sounds of it, Weiss was the guy that he was really had circled as, okay, he'll be my right-hand man, which to me says a lot about the trust there. Again, we have to see a couple things. I'm curious to see, you know, how does Weiss take on a larger, now coordinators don't have to necessarily be the top recruiters, but when you're a quarterback's coach, you might only recruit a couple prospects a year. You know, now he has to be at least involved in every recruiting thing. He doesn't have to be necessarily the primary recruiter, but he's got to be involved in pretty much every offensive recruit that they go after. I'm curious. So that's where I think Sherrone Moore can be really valuable and maybe helping him catch up as a longtime NFL guy. So I'm curious about that. Obviously, I'm curious about the play calling, and I am curious a little bit about the player relationships. I had gotten the impression that players really liked Gattis. You know, not just like that they liked a coach who was on a winning team, but you know, they really enjoyed kind of the his ability to get everyone involved, his ability to kind of gauge the ups and downs of practices or off season, things like that. So, yeah, there was a couple questions, but honestly, you're absolutely right that it took 5 minutes after the Gattis news broke that Matt Weiss through multiple reports, including, you know, those on our site, it was already penciled in as the guy. You know, I wrote down here on our outline of questions to ask any outside hires that jump out. I mean, no, Michigan didn't really even leave that room open. It's even a door that we can like peer through and see who else is out there. It sounds like Michigan's doing this quickly. So instead, last question on the offense before we switch to the other side of the ball. The rumor report is, and it makes a ton of sense to me, Ron Bellamy to wide receivers coach. Sounds like Sherrone Moore. I mean, I think he's technically already co-offensive coordinator, but maybe we'll get a more genuine co-offensive coordinator where he's a part of the play calling. The one that fascinates me, and Sam reported this, is Grant Newsome being elevated to tight ends coach, where and Jay Harbaugh maybe perhaps moving to the defensive side of the ball. We'll see if that move becomes official, but you know, Grant Newsome has been every Michigan fan knows who Grant Newsome is, former offensive lineman, suffered a career-ending injury, but he's been an offensive analyst the last couple of years. He got a lot of praise from coaches and players when the offensive line won the Joe Moore Award for best offensive line in the country last year. So he'll be elevated to a tight ends coach role. Steve, what do you think of all this? Obviously, there's still some moving parts. There's been chatter about, you know, Mike Hart being in a similar boat as Gattis, where maybe you know, the past month was not as communicated with as maybe he would have liked. Perhaps he might take a look at NFL jobs. For all we know, that might not be true, but obviously that's something that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, as we mentioned, he's going to have to make sure these relationships are strong again. But your thoughts on the rumored changes? I think the Bellamy one makes all the sense in the world, but I am curious about the Newsome decision. Your thoughts, Steve? It sounds like it's the same deal where Harbaugh's handling this so swiftly, you're almost like, well, I guess he doesn't really want to do anything other than this. So it must be a decision he's very comfortable with.
Well, I think with stuff like that, it's these guys, you run a college football program, you kind of have to be a step or two ahead all the time, or at least, you know, have 2-3 step ahead scenarios, like kind of painted out in your head, you know, knowing, you know, I mean, look at the coaching tree Harbaugh's built over the years. He's never been a coach that's had great assistants for a long period of time, because a lot of them have gone on to get head coaching jobs, move up to, you know, coordinators, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I think, again, yeah, you look at the pace on this on the offensive side of the ball with these rumored moves. I think it speaks a lot to his faith in, yeah, and again, Bellamy to wide receiver makes complete sense. I mean, I love Grant Newsom. He's legitimately probably was one of my 4 or 5 favorite recruits to cover when he was being recruited by the staff. He's a genuine, he's a great combination of abnormally like intelligent, but incredibly hardworking.
Your coaching is him settling intellectually.
Right. You know,
because of how smart he is, all the degrees he has. Yeah.
Yep. All seriousness, I actually kind of feel the same way. Just outstanding intelligence wise, incredibly hard worker. I always think about him when he was rehabbing, you know, to get even where he got back to. And it's just, I don't ever really think it was understated how serious that injury really was. I mean, that could have been worse than what it ended up being. And so I love, you know, I mean, you guys know I've been a recruiting person most of the time. Youth and enthusiasm on the recruiting trail for me, just strictly from a recruiting standpoint, is almost always a really, really good thing. But I think Grant is maybe the same way I felt about him when he was a recruit. I remember the first or maybe the second time I interviewed with him, and I've only had this feeling a few times. I remember getting off the phone thinking, I think this kid's going to go to Michigan. And this was before his recruitment really got near the end stages. It's just, a guy just seems to fit. And I feel the same way about his fit on this staff. He will absolutely, as a recruiter, would absolutely be in the same mold as I would compare him a lot to like a Jay Harbaugh, very real, very down to earth, communicable, you know, but someone knows how to represent what Michigan is after on the recruiting trail too, you know? And so I think that'd be a great hire for them. My hope is that they would not just restrict him to recruiting the tight end position. I'm hoping, you know, he'd be a guy that would get involved in some other recruitment. He's already obviously been helping Sherrone Moore with offensive line recruiting, and has been a guy that's been mentioned a few times with some kids. So, you know, but from a strictly a recruiting standpoint, I think it would be an A-plus hire. And I know him enough to know from a coaching standpoint, I think it's just hard not to see him succeeding. I guess that's the best way I would describe something with Grant is I just don't foresee him, you know, not succeeding at it just because he's just a unique guy in a lot of different ways. And, you know, one that I'd quietly, it probably won't get near the pub that the coordinator hire, the DC hire will make, and probably whoever they use to whoever that DC maybe brings on as a safeties or whatever position they decide to go with, but I think is one that fans should be really excited about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I kind of mentioned it a moment ago. I mean, you talk to him long enough, you're almost like, huh, he could probably run for Congress in like 5 years. So, you know, I'm happy for him. I assume he must love coaching. He stuck around the program even after he medically retired and was a student assistant. So he's not quite as fresh faced as it might seem. I mean, I think he's been really doing this coaching bit at Michigan for, I don't know if the exact number is 4 years, but it's been a while. You know, this isn't brand new to him. And my thought is, since he hasn't gone and coached anywhere else and no one has said anything but great things about him, is that he is someone Michigan feels pretty comfortable in the role. I mean, he's not getting put on island. You know, Sharon Moore was a tight ends coach at Michigan. Jay Harbaugh is a tight ends coach at Michigan. So it's not like he's, you know, being thrown into the deep end here. I mean, he'll have help, but also I don't know if he'll need a ton of help, because you're absolutely right. He was one of the most intelligent players I think we've interviewed over the years. He won whatever they call the award for, you know, best GPA or smartest player. He won that one year. And then obviously, you know, he knows his stuff about football too. And so very fascinating to see that hire. And gotta think, I mean, that's just a cool story, right? Is that this is not, you know, his connection with Michigan football didn't end with a career-ending injury. I mean, it sounds like he was someone that they really wanted to make an impact in Ann Arbor, and now he's going to have the chance to in a different role. So, you know, good for him. I really like the Ron Bellamy one. I think that quietly, I guess it doesn't make too much of a difference in recruiting, but I think he's another coach that I think Michigan, finding the best way to utilize him, whether it's in recruiting, you know, the areas he recruits or the areas that he coaches as a former star wide receiver. I think that makes a lot of sense. And probably the best move, if you're trying to, I mean, Michigan's got a ton of receivers. I don't think anyone can sit here and say, guarantee that none of the receivers are going to transfer this spring. I mean, they've already got 7 scholarship receivers and they're bringing in 3 as incoming recruits, maybe even 4. So, I mean, you're talking about close to double digit receivers on scholarship. Do they all stick around? We don't know. But if you want to keep that room happy and you realize the talent that they have, I think Bellamy's a great hire to accomplish that, because they know him. A lot of them knew him before they got to Michigan, and they certainly all knew him while he was at Michigan. So yeah, I think that hire makes a lot of sense. And really, I do think that, you know, Michigan going fully internal on the offensive side speaks more to the coaching tree that's developing in Ann Arbor. I mean, Sharon Moore was, you know, he was another hire when he was initially hired, was not, I mean, he was, you know, there was stories about him and everything, but it wasn't like, oh yeah, Michigan poached Sharon Moore from Central Michigan's tight ends coaching room. You know, he's someone that's risen at Michigan. You've seen Grant Newsom. He's now risen at Michigan. And Ron Bellamy a little bit too. I mean, you know, he was a high school coach. It's I think Michigan's showing that it doesn't need to win the initial press conference, and that Jim Harbaugh has a good sense for who's next in the coaching world. Any final thoughts on the offense before we switch to the defensive side?
No, I think interesting to see what Weiss is on the recruiting trail. Not a name we've heard a ton. I know he's kind of restricted to quarterbacks, but I think you put Bellamy and another young guy over there, I think overall, I think you're okay with the results there from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah, I think it will be important to make sure, you know, he's not on an island either, that people are helping him adapt to this, because yeah, he really, really hasn't done a ton of recruiting, and I don't know what his role as a GA at Stanford could really be in recruiting either. So, you know, as you mentioned, quarterback, you're not on the trail in the same sense as you would be if you're trying to recruit 5 offensive linemen or something like that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we'll talk about the defensive coordinator position and maybe who some of the top candidates for that are. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Everyone is talking about If.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, man. I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt.
Ta-da!
And the must-see comedy of the summer. That's perfect for the whole family.
It's just so exciting.
If. Rated PG. Now playing in theaters.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for waiting. Talking defense. So, Steve, Mike McDonald's departure, I don't think was as surprising, especially once the Ravens coordinator position opened up. Alejandro and I talked about it a couple weeks ago. We don't necessarily need to talk about that, but I am curious about this question. Michigan, they can go in a few different directions with its next defensive coordinator. You know, they can get someone with a lot of experience. They can go kind of like McDonald and maybe try to get a rising star on their way up. They can prioritize recruiting. They could be justified keeping the priority maybe on X's and O's. They can get maybe someone like Steve Klinkscale, who's you know, a great mentor to these players. Seems like he really connects with the players. They can try to go in a different direction schematically to keep things fresh or maybe best suit their talent, or they can try to keep things the same as that's what everyone's used to practicing. Steve, in your mind, what should they be looking for at defensive coordinator? It's a little different than the offense. The offense is returning a ton of talent. The defense, they're losing seven starters. I think they return a lot of good talent, like Mozzie Smith, DJ Turner, Junior Colson, Rod Moore. There's certainly a lot of players who could be all Big Ten players, but there's a lot of question marks. They are losing some of the starters and some of the key cogs in their machine. And then the other part of this is Jim Harbaugh, my understanding is that he really doesn't coach the defensive side of the ball at all. He'll be involved in the offense no matter who the coordinator is. The defensive side is a little bit more of a delegation where the defensive coordinator, it's going to be their show to run. You know, we saw that with Don Brown. We saw that with Mike McDonald. So, Steven, with that all that in mind, what should Michigan be looking for in its next defensive coordinator?
You want to get as close as you got with Mike McDonald, I think, from an X's and O's standpoint. Same deal on offense. I mean, if you can get a guy that'll recruit at a high level, that's always a big, big plus. But I do feel like from an assistant standpoint, Michigan is very strong on the recruiting trail right now, probably stronger top to bottom than they ever have been. Particularly if Jay Harbaugh does shift over, if that is one of the end results of this. I mean, you could argue he's Michigan's maybe their second best recruiter, honestly, when you look at it. So, you know, I think with that in mind, you don't worry so much about a guy that can recruit at an A-plus level per se, as much as you are worried about a guy that brings this potential schematic advantage. The one thing I've been told throughout this entire process is it seems like Harbaugh is at least somewhat bent on getting someone who will run a similar scheme to McDonald. Guessing part of that is because of the way the roster is built right now, the way they recruited the last two cycles and the way that they're recruiting the 23 cycle, you know, to keep things, you're obviously not going to keep things exactly the same, but to keep it as similar as possible. And it makes sense, you know, because again, I think you have a roster that can potentially replicate last year's success. And I don't think a drastic change in scheme is something that is going to be advantageous to Michigan, even having the level of talent, young talent that they do defensively, right? I think you want to keep things at least somewhat close to how you had it. So that's what I'd be looking for. You know, I think keep the culture stuff the same too. I think that was a big deal. Which all of these things kind of point towards Minter, in my opinion, as far as that goes. So I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, do you see people throwing out big names like Elijah Robinson, Jim Leonard at Wisconsin? You know, they should throw all the money at them and see if they can get them. I just don't know if that's feasible. I would say kind of keep things similar if you can.
Yeah, I think the only person you'd be helping by throwing a bunch of money at Jim Leonard would be Jim Leonard, because he's not leaving Wisconsin. I think he's their next head coach. He's an alum. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, he turned down an NFL defensive coordinator job to stay at Wisconsin. He's not leaving. And I guess there is something to be said for getting you know, the top recruiter in the country like Robinson was. But at the same time, Michigan just made the playoffs with a top 10 defense, with a first-year defensive coordinator and defensive play caller. You know, you don't necessarily have to go after the name that you know, random talking head on national sports talk says. You know, you can dig a little deeper, and so you know, Minter, you met Jesse Minter. Sounds like he's a top candidate. Alejandro and I talked about the perks of maybe going internal. I mean, Steve Klinkscale and Mike Elston are two guys who are very qualified for defensive coordinator jobs. They would not be this huge reach to promote either one of them to defensive coordinator. Now, you know, Michigan has to decide and determine for itself if that's the way that it wants to go, or just maybe make sure both are well paid and given kind of some specialization on their particular roles. You know, Klinkscale wouldn't be surprised to see if he's listed as co-defensive coordinator. Wouldn't be surprised to see if he's really given that pass game defensive coordinator type role, and Elston's maybe given a pass or a little bit of play calling role in terms of dialing up blitzes and some of the schemes that they run up front. Same time, I'm with you. It worked with Mike McDonald last year. So I think a lot of Michigan fans' question would be, okay, is there another Mike McDonald line? And Minter isn't quite the same on the same, you know, he's had a different kind of journey. It sounds like he was a defensive coordinator at Indiana State and Georgia State before he went to Baltimore, but rose through Baltimore's ranks and was someone that Michigan was targeting as an assistant coach last year under Mike McDonald, before Vanderbilt hired him as its defensive coordinator. Now, yeah, you look at Vanderbilt's stats, not very good defense last year, but you also have to factor in not only what their talent level is after they were coming off a winless season, but also who they were playing, being in the SEC, playing some of these top teams every single year. And so a lot of coordinators might not have the best looking numbers in those playing Alabama and Georgia and you know, tough schedule every year. But Steve, it seems like you are of the line of thinking that he would be an optimal hire. What do you like about him and what he brings? And then also, are there any other names that you think are of notable interest to Michigan fans?
Well, with Minter, I think the pedigree's got to be part of it. I think the fact that we're already looking at him as an assistant coach means that Jim got a good word from John Harbaugh about Minter as well. Yeah, it's hard to put a ton of stock into how Vanderbilt, you know, you're a first year head coach trying to rebuild their roster. I just don't know, you know, where you go with that. I mean, you can look at, you know, what Derek Mason did at Auburn this year after, you know, being a highly regarded defensive coordinator before being hired as Vandy's head coach. Vanderbilt defense was never really any good. Goes to Auburn, has a great year as their defensive coordinator this season. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where you upgrade the talent level dramatically. I think, you know, you just can't put much stock into a rebuild. It clearly long-term rebuild like Vanderbilt, as far as, you know, if Minter is capable of being a good coordinator at the college level or not. So that's one thing. I do like the fact that he's already had college experience though as well. I think that is something that may be able to help on the recruiting trail a little bit. But overall, I think it's just that it is that pipeline idea. And also, just going on history here, but Harbaugh's instincts have usually been right when making these kind of hires. You know, I think most people have been a little underwhelmed with the names that have been kind of talked about and stuff. So, you know, but Minter's, like I said, a guy they already looked at in the past. So I think that should already tell you something about what they think about him. The fact that they're still talks, they're still pursuing, despite how much Vanderbilt struggled on the field on both sides of the football, I think that really kind of says to me, don't put up a ton of stock into it. So other name, so it's like about a week ago, I think, posted Minter, and then the other one's Anthony Campanile, the former Michigan assistant who like just kind of disappeared from the staff one day a couple of years ago. Remember that whole thing went down, yeah. Kind of odd. But had a great run in Miami, but with the Brian Flores situation, could be someone looking around again. I think those would be the two names. Those are the two names I was given last week. Looks like that's coming to fruition. Looks like those are the two guys that are at least going to be interviewing, you know, and I would feels like, you know, that it, I wouldn't, I was going to say, it feels like it's going to be one of those two guys, but I know both Don Brown and even McDonald were sort of left out of left field hires at DC. So maybe there's another name or two in there somewhere. Campanile is intriguing to me as well. Miami had a great defense this season in the NFL. He would immediately, you know, this is one of the big reasons Michigan fans were excited when he got hired the first time, would immediately put Michigan back in New Jersey on the recruiting trail. Family is super, super well respected. And in I believe his brother's still the head coach at Bergen Catholic. So it would definitely be a huge help there. But also, you know, again, you're talking about a guy who rose quickly, got to Michigan and then got hired away to the NFL a year later, and still a young enough guy, you know, I think is a bright mind, likes to play an aggressive style defense. You know, I think I said, just posted here a little bit ago, I would give Minter the advantage heading into interviews, but I know there are some that are really pressing for Campanile to be the guy. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes direction at all, or if it seems like they might stay with Minter, or, you know, provided he wants the job. I can't imagine you wouldn't want to, you know, go to Michigan from Vanderbilt, but you know, you never know. So that's where I think things are pretty much at right now, with always the wild card possibility that there's some left field candidate that'll come out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think that is something to keep in mind. Is Harbaugh, I mean, not just even a defensive coordinator, but even at other positions, has this ability to, you know, everyone does their little hot boards, everyone talks about who logically makes sense, and then all of a sudden he's hiring someone from a school that weren't even thinking about. You didn't even know any of their assistant coaches, and a couple, I mean, Sharon Moore is one of them, you know, Mike McDonald. Again, when there's a John Harbaugh word of approval, I mean, those two, they've traded like six coaches back and forth at this point. You know, this is, if anything, Minter would almost be like the player to be named later for some of these trades. But, you know, so that's maybe not out of nowhere, but you're absolutely right that, you know, some random connection will lead him to one coach or another. And he has a great track record of hiring defensive coordinators, by the way. You know, I think it's pretty well proven throughout his time at Stanford, San Francisco, you know, and then now at Michigan that he, if he goes after something, he hasn't missed yet, really, because the first one who got fired instead of getting a new job that was an upgrade was Don Brown. And I think most people would agree that he brought a lot to Michigan, and then it kind of went stale more than anything. So yeah, very curious. I'm kind of with you. I think Minter checks pretty much every box. You don't need to elongate this the whole way. You don't need to necessarily, I don't think Minter would be settling. You know, I know people are down on Vanderbilt, but I mean, this was a guy that has that same McDonald future NFL defensive coordinator kind of trajectory, but with a lot more college experience and perhaps grander designs to be in college for a little bit longer. So fascinated by that. I think the hire makes a lot of sense. I think you'd get a lot of schematic continuity. I think you'd have a lot of the similar, I mean, he'd probably just talk with McDonald and be like, all right, what do I do to keep this rolling? You know, obviously he's going to be tasked with developing, you know, at the edge position, at linebacker and safety, especially. I feel like all those positions are going to need new players to step up, but they also, he wouldn't be alone. They have a great, I think they have as good of an assistant coaching trio on the defensive side of the ball, and that's not even counting Jay Harbaugh's impact or input. I think they've got a great trio. I mean, Klingscale, I think his credentials are pretty well established. Elston's credentials are pretty well established. We've talked about both of them plenty. And George Hilo, too. Can't really argue with the talent development at linebacker this past season in Hilo's first season. And when you watch his press conferences, or you're like me and you're there, you really get a sense that this is another guy who's probably going to keep rising through the coaching ranks over the years. So Michigan's going to have to – I mean, they have decisions to make. There is risk. You know, I know everyone's asking, oh, is this Michigan slipping down the hill? Or are they squandering the opportunity momentum-wise? I think that's a little premature, but there's always a risk that they do. We don't know. You know, every time you hire a new coordinator, you don't know. There's plenty of on-paper hires, great on-paper hires that are made every year around the country. And for a variety of reasons, don't quite work out the way that I guess those of us who grade the coaching hires, I hate grading coaching hires for this reason, because we don't know. We don't know until it actually happens. So there's certainly some risk. There's certainly some uncertainty, but I think we all knew that there was going to be some of that when Jim Harbaugh spent 5 weeks kind of exploring NFL opportunities. Same time, it does seem like Michigan's got a plan in place. So it won't necessarily be, you know, they're not scrambling. They're not necessarily running through their checklist, having to cross all their top names off yet. Sounds like Jim Harbaugh feels pretty good about the offensive side. And then the defensive side seems like that's something that could be done in the next couple days. Anyway, for Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. Obviously, if that stuff is done in the next couple days, we'll talk about it. Plenty of stories to be read, though, including some stuff about this defensive coordinator search and about this offensive coaching shuffling over at the MichiganInsider.com and Michigan.247sports.com. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. Hope you had fun. Hope you learned something. We'll see you next time.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.